This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Sadia, welcome back to the Monday show. I know y'all thought that y'all wasn't going to see a real N-word again, but I'm here and we got the... You said watch the preventative.
I know, that was good. I just didn't expect you to do it so gracefully like that. Did you think Gina. No, you're a real professional.
You see me?
Because you end up in these corporate spaces, you start dropping N-bombs, all of a sudden it don't matter what color you are. It's like mega inappropriate, right?
I'm not going to lie. Me working here, I have definitely lost every corporate... you know, professional skill that I've had, and I'm finding myself texting like an N-word.
Really?
Rather than, because like, it'll be times where I'm like on an email thread with like a paid post, and then I realize like, oh shit, this is not a text. Right. I have to, I'm the social media manager. I have to say, hi, thank you so much for submitting.
Well, it would be crazy to go work somewhere else and to not be able to just light up a Newport at your desk or, you know. Like,
that, or are you trying to talk about me?
No, no. I walked out of my office earlier and the smell of sharp cigarette did hit my nose. And I was just like, dude, this is an old-timey saloon of an office, like straight up. You just don't get these vibes. Yeah. This is what it was like to go to a bar up until whenever they made it illegal to smoke in restaurants and bars. And, you know, because you remember you used to go to like a normal diner.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it would stink to the high heavens of cigarettes in a way that nowhere does anymore.
Well,
not only is this the coolest podcast in the world, but it's actually the coolest job in the world because you guys do not give me any shit for walking around here with house shoes
or with just a jacket and
or
your shirt
or a blanket.
You coming in multiple weeks in a row wearing no shirt and just like a like you're like that's Foxy Brown at the VMAs in 1998, not like specifically, but like she would like, I don't know, she got like tape holding her shirt together. Me and AD are just like, sis,
but that's going me. On that's Gina views. That's like me as talent versus when I'm coming here as just like an employee.
Right.
You know,
I'm because you can do that as talent.
I'm ugly on those days.
You can do that as talent for sure.
You've been doing this since high school, huh? Like going to school with blankets and shit.
Yes.
You pop up in class with blankets.
I've always been a comfy bitch.
I like how we have to keep this. We have to keep this conversation very surface level until a suspect gets here, because it would be wrong to do like a State of the Union before he gets here. I just realized what's going on is we have to talk about like wearing blankets to work and you know, just like frilly little stuff, because our guy's not here and he's kind of popular.
Well, suspect also doesn't technically have like a no jumper 9 to 5. So he probably wouldn't know what the fuck we're talking about anyway.
Right, but does he know that he was supposed to be here 14 minutes ago? Does he know? But he was on the flyer on YouTube. Yeah, he has to know.
Well, earlier the times were different on the YouTube.
Were they?
Yeah, but they were fixed.
Maybe he doesn't know what time zone we're in.
Yeah.
He probably does not know what time zone we're in.
There we go.
But it's also, isn't like, did we just get like daylight savings? No? Did we?
I'm not saying that's many weeks ago.
Yeah, no, a few weeks ago. Sure.
It's possible, though.
Speaking of all of the, you know, just structural having at a company, Adam, how do you feel about everybody, you know, these other platforms saying that it's kind of a circus up here?
Sharp, welcome to the show. No, we could talk about that. I just feel like Let's Sharp didn't really go. Get a proper introduction right there.
Let's fucking go.
Let's go Sharp.
It's all right. We Sharp in the building.
Sharp don't need an intro. He done came in here with a good drink.
Hey, man. Maybe, we're just hanging out.
I just got him from the airport, so I've probably been with him for too long.
You picked him up at the airport?
Picked me up from the
I'm
airport.
A great
LAX?
Person.
No.
No,
no. Okay, okay. Yeah. That's a little bit more convenient.
Let me tell you something, man. I don't think I would ever, and nobody get any bright-ass ideas. You know, I like Burbank because it's like, it's hella quick, man. It's, they open up fucking, they let your ass out on the tarmac. They open up both doors. You don't have to just walk out one way. So I don't mind going and sitting straight in the back.
But have you done JetSuite X yet?
I heard it's a waste of fucking money.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I did it one time. It was beautiful.
Is that like rich people talk?
It wasn't that much. It was like $500, I think. And it's like, you just show up. It's so smooth and easy the way they let you walk in. They don't search you, nothing. But then I wanted to do it again during something where there was like a ton of people trying to get on it. And it was like $2,000 or some shit. And I was like, I'm not doing that. I'm taking a regular plane.
Yeah, I just feel like, I mean, me personally, the way I am, like, I love communication, so it doesn't bother me to be around people. I don't need to, you know what I'm saying, seclude myself away to want to go, oh, well, let me just be by myself. I mean, I sat on the plane with some guys, man, we was talking about the football games, you know what I'm saying, the whole way up. So it's cool. It kind of kills the time versus me
gives you a chance
just,
to be a man of the people.
Yeah, man of the people, man. Man of the 45 minutes that I'm on the plane.
I agree. I'm like proudly cheap. This is something I'm really trying to lean into in the new year.
You are a cheapskate.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But it's like stuff like I don't like flying first class. Like I tell my girl, I'm like, unless it's like really inexpensive, I'm not doing it. Don't try to get me to take no fucking $8,000 flight to France. I'm not doing it. I have too much respect for money to waste that much money on sitting in a comfortable seat for 8 hours. It's just not happening. I'm not doing it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, everybody's going to the same location, though. It's not like it improves it. Flying experience.
Yeah, but it does. It's amazing. I'm not gonna lie.
Oh my God, I'm too broke for this conversation because I've never flown first class.
Let me tell you, there's levels to it though. There's like going to Europe and that they have first class where the whole seat just becomes a bed. It completely flattens out.
Delta does that. I flew on Delta to Atlanta. I was going and doing a music video, shoot a music video for 2 days. And like, you know, they took care of my flight or whatever. Shout out Fish and Grits. Took care of my flight. So I get on the flight. I'm like, fuck, I got to sit up for this 3.5 hours. I think it's like a 3.5 hour flight. I got to sit up through it. I was in first class. I'm like, then the seat only probably reclines a little bit. So I get up on there. It's got the whole little cubby hole, like cut off and everything. Private TV. You can lay down. It's got a full bed that turns, the chair turns all the way into a motherfucking bed.
You telling me that first class come with a futon?
Some planes. Don't think that it's every plane.
Because you might catch first class from, you know, L.A. to Boston or L.A. to New York or whatever, and the first class is like, it's just a wider seat, which is nice. You know, you have a bit more room and everything. You're not touching elbows with the person you're sitting next to. It reclines a little bit more, and they like bring you food, they're bringing you drinks, whatever, but a lot of first class is pretty whatever, but like first class when you're going overseas, I'm not gonna lie, it's tempting because it's like, it's like 8-10 hours of you being able to sleep like you're in your fucking bedroom. So you like land off the flight.
I'm paying for it.
It's fire. I'm not gonna lie.
I'm paying for it, man.
Like, but me and my girl went to Japan one time and she just saw at the last minute, like, oh, we could upgrade to first class and it was only $1,000 each. That's like a 20-hour flight. It's like multiple flights.
It was definitely worth it.
Worth it, bro. But on a day-to-day basis, when they go to book me for a flight and it's on the jumbo dime, no. Now, if somebody else is trying to book me to fly somewhere, I'll just be like, yeah, first class. Okay,
yeah.
For sure. If somebody else paying.
If we do anything for work, Adam.
You've made me cheap.
You kind of got to give me the first. I've never had first class treatment.
That's a bad precedent. The CEO of Walmart flies business class.
Adam, and granted, you haven't had any guests in here that could, you know, fly me out.
What did that mean? That was like very sneaky linkish.
Wasn't it? Because Adam is hating. Adam is hating on my love life.
No, I think that if all you wanted was a fly out from some random rapper, there's been plenty of opportunities.
I know a couple.
Have it.
Well, yes, I don't know. Has. Yeah, you just got to, you know, throw it back a little bit. Maybe hit one of your little jumping jack routines in the office.
What do I do?
Tempt them. Come to me, rappers.
You telling me you don't got one right now that's in your DMs?
No. Zero.
One that's never hit you that says, hey, I want to have you.
I am so honest with you guys that, like, I'm willing to give you my phone for a day just so you can see. Like,
I'm not saying ones that you engage on. I'm talking about just ones that just come.
No, that's the thing.
You don't have any, even if you don't respond.
Well, I don't go out.
You don't have to go out to get DMs.
No.
Right? I mean,
been told that I'm unapproachable. So, I mean, apparently. I have, like, this kind of straight face that, you know.
Yeah, you like have put out too much like not a slut energy over the years that now like you're trying to enter this like little mini hoe phase.
Did you see her at the live show, me and you were looking at her like, what'd she say? Remember me and you were standing next to each other and she said some
what'd
shit.
She say? Something sassy.
She said something. Remember we were taking pictures.
I told the fan, so there was a fan at the live show and she said that she bought her boyfriend tickets for the No Jumper show for his birthday, and it was a surprise, and I told him he needed to suck a fart out of her ass.
You don't remember that?
That's a lot. No, I remember it now. That's a lot, yeah. It just took me aback. I just didn't know what the fuck to say.
I forgot what it was, but it was some shit along the line.
I was like, that's what Gina thinks love is.
Yeah,
that's what these streets did to her.
A fart in the mouth.
I've never had a fart sucking out of my ass, but it was just the first thing that came to my mind. y'all gotta stop treating me like the little like 13-year-old girl. Like how you kicked me out the group chat. Like I know y'all want to like protect my innocence and stuff, but
let's talk about that.
Y'all know I'm grown. Hey.
So basically, like somebody started a group chat with a bunch of different people in the office because they were trying to get information about a little Christmas holiday party, whatever. And then immediately, and this is like, I've never been in a work group chat with one of the female employees. It's just like, we have like a homie group chat that does not have any girls in it and is very clearly, almighty suspect in the building, is very clearly not a work group chat. I just want to make that clear. Not a work group chat. So if we want to send porn, if we want to send, you know, Muslim clerics beheading, you know, government officials, that's okay. That's not work stuff. So my thing is, I am a little nervous because I don't, like, you know, immediately people started saying things that were just like, in my opinion, inappropriate for a work group chat. Mm-hmm. So I disbanded the group chat. I deleted everybody from the group chat. Turns out once there's like two or three people left, you can't keep removing people.
Which, well, then I started a new group chat with all the same people.
Yeah, because she, and I get it too, though, because you're kind of like suffering from the sins of every woman who ever made a fake or embellished workplace allegation, because yeah. Now dudes are scared to treat chicks like normal fucking people in the workplace. Even calling them chicks could be considered very inappropriate in a lot of workplaces, but that's a shame because it's like, I'm sure somebody like you would just like to be exposed to all the barroom happy hour guy talk, and like you're not going to get your feelings hurt easily if you overhear a sexual conversation. Yeah. But at the same time, like as dudes in a workplace, you don't want to make a woman feel like she has to like be hearing a sexual conversation unless she opts into it, right?
Well, I do respect that, and I do thank you for even considering me that way. But I am like the girl who's always been a part of like the boys club. So I have a bunch of male siblings, I have a bunch of cousins and a bunch of homeboys and stuff like that. So those conversations don't bother me as much, but that is different in the workplace.
Yeah, like it's one thing if you opt in. It's another thing if you.
I also started the bullshit too in that group chat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is this mic on? It's not.
Yeah, it's our mind on too.
Crank that guy up.
Yeah, I was the one who had started all the bullshit in there.
You did start it though.
I put my ass on the thing.
That was your ass? She made the picture on the group chat her own butt. I thought it had to be some other butt.
It's on my Instagram though, so it's not like I just dropped the booty on it.
Hey, dog, I hit her like a concerned fucking coworker. I said, Gina. I was like, is that your ass on the? I said, Gina.
And is it okay to do that with yourself? It wouldn't be okay for me to do it.
It would definitely be.
If I made the group chat photo a picture of my cod piece from a recent Plug Talk episode,
that fucking fleshlight, no.
Well, that would be gay.
Right. Well, it'd also be inappropriate.
It would be inappropriate.
I don't think
but
that it being gay is the X factor.
Am I good?
Like, yeah, you could be gay. You just can't, like, send us nudes of yourself.
That would be crazy.
Well, you basically did because you made your butt the default picture on the group chat.
That picture is on my Instagram.
I'm sorry. I just got a little nervous because you said something, and then I realized you weren't saying something else.
No.
I was trying to. I just
didn't want you to think I was, like, acting weird for a second.
At first, I was like.
For a second, I thought you were saying something that I didn't want you to say, and then I'm like, oh, wait, never mind. Okay.
Yeah. You caught it?
What the fuck I missed?
I know.
We were just talking about the day that I got kicked out the group chat.
I think we all got kicked out the group chat.
We all did. No, actually,
you were one of the
there.
Ones I couldn't delete. It's like the last two or three.
I was like, well, that
oh,
guy
God,
out
I was
of
still
hand
in it. I think
fast.
It was me and him. I'm still talking in that motherfucker. Now, that was crazy.
They
was
changed like, the name. Wild. They changed the name to not Melvin's room. I'm like, yeah, I'm sure that's not going to confuse anybody.
She called it Melissa's room.
Who the hell's Melissa?
I said, who the hell is that?
What about Moesha's room?
Oh, well, I didn't think of that.
Because
now,
Melvin
now that
is,
could be considered inappropriate.
Melvin is from... No, it's good. Because it's like a legendary fictional character. Like, Melvin is
it's
Melvin from Baby Boy.
It's also a black name.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. Is Melvin is like a legendary fictional black dude from Baby Boy.
So
Moesha is a
from?
Legendary female black character from a TV show.
Well, so that's where y'all got.
I thought it
and it begins
Marvin's
with M,
room.
Which also I think is important.
I thought y'all was doing a play on Marvin's room.
See, I think, yes, originally that is why I did that. It's like kind of funny to me to do Melvin's room because Melvin is the sort of obscure character from a legendary movie.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was because like we were kind of new to like, oh, we have a Hoover friend. And then Melvin has Hoover tattooed across his back.
Y'all so fucking gorgeous.
We have a Hoover friend.
Because that's how it started is because I sent that picture in the group chat just to be like, T-Row, your boy. And then I think I like, boom, I made it the picture.
I met the person who that character was based off of.
For?
There's a real one? Who?
Yeah. It was my dad's from Hoover. So he took me over there and introduced me to the guy.
Interesting. Wow.
Yeah.
You know who's a legendary gangster that I fucking wish was real?
Oh.
Marcellus from Pulp Fiction. Now he gets raped in the ass in that movie, so
pause.
We're gonna have to take that off the
pause
record.
That, man.
But pause. But during the part of the movie where he's just him, fucking badass. You know what I'm talking about?
I wonder how many other people really actually walk around the world like that.
What?
That are really like that. That are gangster, but they taking it up the ass.
No, more than you know. Hold on,
like more than you know.
Put some respect on my boy's name. He had a shotgun pointed at him, and he was being raped at gunpoint by sick fucks. They had another guy in a gimp suit. He was wearing an all black leather suit. They were keeping him chained up in the basement.
I'm out of here. No cap.
Shoot me.
I mean,
I'm just keeping it real, bro.
Because I don't know if I want to walk around like that for the rest of my life.
I don't know if I want to either.
You're going to blow your head off and fuck your corpse.
That's cool. At least I wasn't there for it.
At least I didn't have control of that.
Yeah, I didn't experience it.
I'd rather live like a man than die on my... I don't know.
Well, speaking of fucking in the ass...
Gina, weekend with Gina. Tell us about your weekend, Gina.
A video surfaced from an interview... with Gabrielle Union playing with Boosie's top. Mm.
So what'd she say?
She sex played him. I don't like her.
And she said, he's always worried about dick. He always has dick on his brain.
I don't like her.
Maybe he's gay.
So do your son.
And Boosie.
You're white gays. We're throwing shots.
A whole lot of them.
A whole lot of them today. A million.
I feel like my nigga Boosie be speaking the truth a lot of the time.
On everything.
But look, to play devil's advocate, he did speak on their kids first, but your kid public as fuck, so we all gonna speak on them.
Facts.
So wait, she the one who got? Oh, she's the one who got the kid with Dwayne Wade.
Yes.
Okay.
No, she doesn't have the kid with him. She's married. That's not her kid.
Oh, it's from another relationship.
It's from another relationship.
And now she's with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, because I remember when the original baby mama was mad at him. For,
I don't like that shit. Right. I heard that she's a pastor.
Yep.
Really? If I'm not mistaken.
Well, no wonder she's against the trans kid. Okay, that makes sense.
And she refers to Gabrielle Union as a devil.
Did you read this quote? This top quote here?
Yeah, it's just pretty much what was on Boosie's story.
Okay, Boosie wrote, "The whole world know I love women. The world knows your husband love dick.
I'll blurt it in for you. I got you.
I hope you don't think blacks look at y'all like a power couple. They don't. I had refused to talk about y'all in interviews, and here you go. Go bang him with that dick and wait on a script, you little white girl."
And I never even read that part that he said, little white girl. Like, I really do feel like she's white gay. She ain't even a part of the culture, homie. I'm just keeping it real. I don't feel that. I don't feel like Gabrielle Union is a part of the culture. So I really do overlook her. And you can overlook me too, baby. I really don't give a fuck.
I think people should stay out of other people's business.
Facts.
Both of them.
Facts.
Because she went on the interview and she was kind of, I guess she was attempting to defend the situation. But in her defending the situation, she sex played Boosie. Mm, so it's technically like you're doing the same thing that you're saying that
it's super inappropriate. I'm sorry. If someone has a political opinion, which in this case, I would say that Boosie does have a somewhat valid opinion, which is basically just that he's concerned that basically kids are transitioning too young.
Facts.
I don't think that's like totally out of the bounds of like acceptable conversation. I think if somebody says something like that and you disagree, it's on you to respond with facts and logic. And it's not on you to just call him gay. If you call somebody gay because of their actual opinion, then you are a homophobe. Fact. And you are basically using the idea of him being gay to like punish him. Like, why is it? Why would it be a bad thing if he was gay? If he chose to be gay, that's totally fucking fine. It's just not, when you say something like that, it's not the dunk that you think it is. You actually sound like an idiot,
right?
And you're actually working against your own cause, because aren't you the kind of person who thinks that gay people should be normalized and it shouldn't be used as an insult?
Isn't gay used in different formats? Gay is a word of a terminology of being happy. People
right.
say, I'm gay, I'm happy.
Right.
People can say, oh, you gay in a sense of like you're tripping.
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? So
I say gay all day for stupid shit.
Yeah, like little stupid shit, but it's not, I'm not directing it towards an actual gay person. Right.
But what I'm saying is that if she heard me say, oh, hey, Josh, that shirt is gay as fuck, that she would say, you're a homophobe and you shouldn't be using gay in that way. Yeah. But then her first Boosie. Thing that she does in response to Boosie having a different opinion than her is to basically accuse him of being on the down low.
You don't think that's a form of white gaze?
I think it's just retarded. But I think it's like, it's just a bad dunk. It's a bad insult. And it's hypocritical.
Yeah, right. That was my issue with her even sex playing Boosie, because it's like, it's literally a response out of emotion rather than logic. You wanted to down talk this man and play with his sexuality and things like that.
I don't like that.
So that's her way of combating what he's been doing to her, and you're technically just doing the same thing.
A good response from her would be like, my child transitioned at this age and we did X amount of testing and we met with these doctors and we did all this stuff that was responsible before we decided to start giving them hormones or right. whatever. That would be an actual response
right.
that combated the like Boosie's opinion. Calling him gay, you're out of here.
Yep.
You're just immature. Like, you're a fucking loser.
That kills it. You don't really have an argument. Once you just be like, well, yeah, I think he take dick too. Like, I mean, what did that do? You got what I'm saying? Besides just throw a little more gasoline on the fire. That didn't really defuse anything or didn't even get a point. You didn't make a point. You didn't make no argument, logic, point, nothing. It was just that's just an argument at that point.
If he was secretly gay, which I'm not saying there's any chance of that being true, but if he was, it would mean nothing. Like, his opinion about you letting your kid transition would be the exact same opinion. So what the fuck are we even talking about?
Right. Saying he's gay doesn't defuse what he said about your son at all. Yeah,
Adam, you shared a very interesting tweet that said, if I say something about you and then you call me a hater, aren't you just validating what I said?
You could call me a hater, sure, all right. But it's like, why respond to that part of it? Why not respond to the actual thing I said? If I tweeted and said, such and such podcast sucks dick. If I made like a specific criticism, if I said like your topics suck or you guys make bad jokes or whatever the fuck it is, if I have a specific criticism, respond to that. Don't just call me a hater. I already know I'm a hater.
She's supposed to be pro transgender. I feel like their family supports that, you know, and they stand behind that. If that's the case, stand behind people that you know you shouldn't be trying to sex play like that. Like that man said, not quote him. He was like, don't ever play on a hood hero. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? He said, you don't ever play on a hood hero like that. I'm a man. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I use a better format of saying sex play. He didn't use that word, but that's the terminology. Mm-hmm. He was being sex played. You know what I'm saying? And like real motherfuckers, real men, and it's not about, nobody has anything against gays, but it's like real men, we don't play that shit. Mm-hmm. Like, you ain't gonna try to sex play me, like, because what you're trying to do is demasculate me. Mm-hmm. That's what you're trying to do throughout your little joke. You're trying to demasculate me and turn me down.
And whenever you have like a controversial political opinion, which I'm still going to kind of give that to Boosie, that he just has his opinion of how he feels, people are always going to try to silence you by going for the easiest possible dunk. Like, you know, like if you had a viral tweet basically agreeing with Boosie, what's the most viral response tweet going to be? It's just going to be somebody saying, well, look at what you got caught up doing back in the day, or look at how you said on one time on the podcast, you're a piece of shit. People don't talk about ideas enough. People don't respond to the actual thing in question enough.
You know? I get stuff like that all the time. I mean, I do, some of my interviews have been confrontational. So, I mean, it's brought some blowback like that. So I can definitely understand, you know, but I've said this before. I think what the problem is, people look at, and being Gabrielle Union, she looked at the messenger. She didn't listen to the message. She judged the messenger. And that's the problem. They always said, hey, man, don't judge the messenger. Just listen to the message.
If she put out a clear, concise statement, maybe Boosie could respond and they could have a conversation. Instead, she called him gay.
She called him
gay. And it's over.
And it was over, yeah. She said, you know, you look like you got a lot of dick on your mind, as I quote. I think she said that.
She probably was just like sitting at home minding her business and like this clip from a year ago just surfaced.
Right, yeah. She really catching up on her Vlad TV catalog right here. Right?
Hilarious. She probably thought that shit was hilarious.
She is what I call white gaze. And that what I mean by that is, it's just a certain way people act. It's not being a white person. That's why I consider it white gaze. Because anybody can act like that. And she's just very prude. And I feel like she just kind of, she's in her own world. Mm-hmm. Like I said, she don't even look like she takes pictures with anybody. Like, she's one of them weirdos, eats a salad out of the garbage can. Worry about your own life. Worry about your own life. Mm-hmm. Worry about what you got going on. You're over here making decisions for children that aren't even yours, which I found kind of disturbing, because I feel like whether the mother was there or not in the child's life, they should at least have a say in that. That's a major change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's detrimental to a child's life. I saw a clip, or I read something about I think it was a lady. She had wanted to do a sex change or something
she
like that.
Reversed.
End up going and suing the doctors, telling them, you knew I wasn't in my right state of mind. Why would you allow me to do this? Mm-hmm. Why would you allow me to do this? I'm coming for you all. I want money.
And
I
she was a grown-ass woman. We're talking about a teenager.
And there's like a big-ass growing community of people who have serious regrets about their transitioning. This is not just like a totally made-up thing. You know,
no.
It's like I've seen these fucking videos, and somehow it doesn't really get any mainstream attention, which I guess their argument is like, well, it happens to such a small percentage of people that it should be totally ignored. But like the rate of people transitioning has gone up so much. It is kind of a social contagion, like trend thing where it's just like in a lot of schools and shit, like very large chunks of the girls are deciding that they want to be trans. And I think that it's probably something that at least deserves inspection. Like people should be talking about
it. I'm not going to call.
I think
she did.
I'm not going to. Listen, I got love for gays. I got nothing but love. And it's cool with them LGBTQ.
White gays.
Shout out to them, man. But listen, I won't call that a sickness, because if that's how you feel like you were born like that, that's cool. But what you weren't born as was a lady or a man. So when you go and you change your body, that's mutilating your body. That's not you just naturally being who you are. You go and you mutilate yourself. Mm-hmm. That's body, that's human mutilation. You're mutilating yourself. You're cutting something off or taking something that you were never supposed to have. You can be who you want to be. If you want to be gay, be gay. Be bright, be happy, do your thing. But to change your body, I feel like that part starts to turn into maybe a problem or maybe a sickness.
But if somebody wants to do that, I think that it's within their rights. If they want to live their life that way, that's fine. It's just that there needs to be some standards and protocols for like this decision being made, and especially when it comes to kids.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Who, bro, when I was 11, I would have got a fucking Rage Against the Machine face tattoo if I could have. Like, you just don't really know what the fuck you are when you're a young kid.
If I was able to do the shit that I wanted to do at 14, I wanted to have all type of stupid ass, disrespectful ass tattoos, all type of shit. I wanted all type of shit at that age.
Right.
And then now that I'm 25, I'd be like, thank God I didn't go
through
that
shit. Adam, I forget you're young.
I used to turn around and pee like a boy.
Can I tell you a story of when I first encountered with something like that? Like I ever saw something that was transgender or, you know, were a stud. I was probably about 13 years old, and in my neighborhood, I saw there was a couple together, and it was a transgender and a stud that was together.
Stud is just a masculine lesbian, right?
It was a girl. Yeah, it was a girl with a man, though, but the roles were reversed.
I see that all the time.
It was a transsexual with a stud.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So the man dressed like a woman and the woman dressed like a man. I've never seen that.
I could take you to a 7-Eleven on Santa Monica Boulevard. We're going to see that right now.
But I was a kid, though, so it was very, I want to say it was almost taboo. You didn't see it as much as you see it today.
That's right.
It's out more today. So when I was a kid and I'm seeing it firsthand, I'm not seeing it on TV. They allow a lot more stuff on TV than they did back when I was a kid. So for me to get it like hands on, I'm just walking through the neighborhood, like I'm meeting people. I'm, you know what I'm saying? I see people. I live there.
Now, you remember the first time you were a little kid and you seen a trans person and you were just like,
that was my first time. Like, I was so young, I didn't even really understand it. I was just like, oh, well, damn. You know, I guess that's what's going on, to see a stud with a transgendered, you know what I'm saying, man to a woman. Mm-hmm. Like, that was different for me. I'm like, damn, why don't y'all just be regular? I bet y'all still fuck the same.
I don't think growing up I saw any transgenders or anyone dressed.
You weren't on the right
dress,
blocks.
But I definitely
was down in the slumps.
Everybody had like the flamboyant like homeboy or classmate around. Or,
is that forbidden,
you know,
on Fig?
Like
I mean,
there's kind of, is there like different strips for that activity?
Yeah,
that would make sense to me.
There,
yeah.
No. There you go. Now you hit it on the head. It's some spots where
it,
that's
like
just
San
where
Pedro?
They at.
Bro, definitely. When I was in Argentina, They took us to this fucking loop-de-loop. It's like a park. You drive your car into the park, and it's like all there's mad cars going through the park, super slow. And as you get in, you just see it's like all just trees and shit. And you see
Hawaii's like that,
the craziest experiment looking ass humans right there, and motherfuckers are just pulling in and getting it in. And we drove right through that shit. It was like a house of horrors, my guy. I didn't see one piece I wanted to affiliate with the whole time.
Getting in like having sex.
Oh yeah, they were all getting fucked in their cars and shit all through this little loop.
How'd that make you feel, Adam? Did you get aroused or did you be like, "Fuck this, this is sick"?
No, I felt walk away. I felt horrible for these people because most of them seemed like they were in real like decay.
Oh, he's gotta get ass.
Nigga, bro. I mean, I've been to whorehouses in like Thailand and China that at least they look happy. At least like they look well taken care of. Yeah. No, this was different. We outside. They look like they straight diseased, falling apart, fucking mutated, infected, straight the scariest shit I ever seen, bro.
I probably will lose my mind. I walked into a party and saw somebody sniff a line and almost had a heart attack.
Oh, my.
That shit regular. You gotta spend the night with us.
Take a walk in.
Definitely couldn't take a walk in these shoes over here.
You ain't snorting a line if we had a wild night in Vegas?
No.
You not touch it ever?
No.
Damn. Yeah, I wouldn't anymore either, but that was so normal to me.
Would you still be able to, like, let's say, for instance, like we're hanging out, right?
Yeah.
Me and you were hanging out, we're all partying. You do a line, but I don't do one. Is that going to make you feel indifferent? Like, damn, he's not on my high. I don't really want to hang out with him.
No, but like, there's been hood vlogs that
I might
filmed.
Feel like that.
I feel
being
you.
So
real. That's why I don't be picking
like,
up
like,
Lush.
No, because I don't want to like fuck your high up.
That's why I don't pick up Lush.
So I'll be like, all right, well, maybe this is my time to probably dip. You know what I'm saying? Because it's a different
I'll put it like this.
Take place.
If I'm kicking it with a bunch of people and they all do coke,
yeah.
I know. I'm probably out of here within about an hour. like facts. I'm going to be annoyed as fuck real soon.
Facts.
I feel like they look at me funny and think that I'm better than them or something. So it's
there's
I just
a lot of that.
I don't want to be.
They're all going to be talking about it. What's it like being someone who doesn't do coke? I must be crazy.
Like what? I'm not putting shit in my nose.
The craziest feeling is when you're sober and you walk into a room of people who are either drunk or on drugs and they are all just in your face. Adam, oh my God, I got this business I want to start. You're going to invest in it. We're going to start a crypto exchange.
What do you say? Do you pretend like, oh, yeah, okay.
I'm the worst pretender on earth. I'm like,
I got an addictive personality, so.
I say that all the
what
time.
What I know about myself, that's what keeps me in control because I'm like, everything I do to the max. Whether it's smoking, even cigarettes, I know that's bad. Like, that's not, you shouldn't do that, but like, I take advantage of everything that I do. So I'm like, shit, I don't got no business plan with nothing.
At all.
And I like to be, and to be real with you, bro, while I really don't do drugs, I don't want to wake up in the morning, look in the mirror, and not recognize myself.
Yeah.
I don't want to wake up in the morning dealing with the consequences from the thing I did the night before. Because if I have a nice night where I eat good and drink a lot of water and get a good night's sleep, I wake up in the morning feeling fucking amazing.
Yeah.
If I wake up after a night of drinking, even if I have 3-4 drinks, I don't love it.
What?
And doing coke, you feel like death in the morning.
I got too many crackheads in my family, so I kind of think I know how it's going to turn out. So it's why would I do it?
I don't know. Like I told, I don't know who I told this story to, but like everybody who I grew up around who did cocaine, they was just dusty. So that wasn't something that I wanted to do. But like the niggas who was doing the fly drugs, I was like, I might pick up that cup of lean, though. Them niggas look fly over there.
There's no fly.
But if you're doing powder, the niggas who I knew who was doing cocaine, they looked like absolute bums, and I wanted no part of it. Besides niggas who was in the game. But like just regular people, I'm like, nah, you look kind of dusty, bro. I don't think I want nothing to do with that.
Being a rich cokehead's a wild look.
You feel me? But I feel like there's a lot of those. I feel like that's regular.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that I knew in the game that didn't do drugs, didn't drink nothing, and didn't allow their chicks to drink and smoke like it takes away from the pot.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what I'm saying? The stack up, the more the merrier. You know what? I'll be real with you. Those ones always end up winning more.
Facts.
Mm-hmm. They always end up winning more to keep a clean program and kind of run the bitch through dare.
Because when I think about
like, fuck,
when
facts,
I think about
say no.
All the time I spent going to parties and clubs and shit drinking, if I wasn't drinking and I was just thinking like, oh, that's this dude who owns this business, I should go talk to him and introduce myself. Maybe we could do some business. Maybe he could advertise. Oh, that's this chick who runs this magazine, I'm going to go talk to her. If you go out and socialize and don't make it all about getting fucked up, you can accomplish so much by going out.
Facts.
I just don't really take advantage
it's
of this.
It's called
point.
Networking. Yeah. Real. Real network.
How would you feel if you seen like one of your employees doing a line? And then, all right, Adam, let's set up
he's
for the screen.
Whoa.
Have you?
Like out there.
Whoa.
Like,
he spoke
names.
Up for it. Like,
I
quick,
said no
like,
names.
Whoa.
I said no names.
No. Okay. I'll put it like this for a hypothetical. When we were in Vegas, there was an allegation that one of the employees was snorting Adderall. Now, I didn't see it, and I don't know if it's true, but it made me think, how would I feel if that's true? Here's my thoughts. If you're doing it and you're acting like a fucking weirdo and you're going to annoy the fuck out of me, yeah, I'm going to look at you different after. If you can do it and you're just, that's just you partying and you keep to yourself or you maintain a consistent persona, then I don't give a fuck, you know? But if you're going to do it and go jump off a roof and get arrested and like a bunch of bullshit, you know? But if you could keep your shit together off drinking, drugs, whatever,
well,
by
if it
all
was,
means.
Well, if it was house phone, he rode a scooter the whole time, so I think he was very safe.
No, he just left just the whole time. We didn't see the motherfucker the whole time. We did a team building trip and he was gone with bitches the whole time in a motorized cart.
He got left behind.
Yeah, because he slept so late with whatever girl he was with.
But you know what, though? I love him because I know it wasn't him. He was just kicking it. Like, I was with him most. I was watching him. He was, bro. Mm. He was just kicking it. He went and did a little shop, and he did what House Phone does. I talked to House Phone's ugly ass, so I know. I don't think it was him. I don't know who it was. That I can't say, but I do. I know House Phone enough. I don't think it was him that night.
Mm.
That night, keyword.
You know what's funny about
that
trip,
though?
Wasn't
him that night, bro.
The whole idea of that trip was that we were going to build a lot of team camaraderie and shit with the people who went.
That shit was fun, bro.
It was all right, but it also definitely, seeing some people, like, fucked up definitely, like, changed.
How about me and the Fatburger? Did that cause you a problem?
Well, I didn't
see
that.
Did that cause you a little scare? Weren't
I'm
kind of
glad I wasn't there for that.
You wasn't with us?
No, I heard about it, though.
Listen to me, man. Vegas is that's my city, man. I grew up around there, like, that's been some of my stomping grounds. So, like, some of the same places that
I was here when it was a McDonald's.
I was.
I heard that.
I was there. So, like, I was there as a kid. A lot of things done happened in that area. So, I've seen a lot of things. I got a lot of memories, a lot of history.
Right.
So, you know, when I bring my people somewhere, I know these areas. I just want them to be accommodated right. Mm. And everything seemed like it was cool. And all I wanted was some French fries, man. I figured, shit, you know, shit, I've been drinking. You know, catch a little sober up, man, before I head on in. And the bitch told me, like, yeah, you got to buy a whole meal. I said, when in the fuck did you ever have to buy a whole meal to get some French fries?
I never heard of that.
I've never heard. That's what she told me.
Everything on the menu is up for grabs.
She told me. She was like, especially a fucking Fatburger. Bitch, this shit's all a la carte.
Right.
Stop playing with me. Stop fucking playing.
What does a la carte
me?
Mean?
Means like everything's sold individually. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So it's not like you're really doing you know what I'm saying? You have to buy everything kind of separately, even from putting an egg on your shit, whatever.
Right, they got a fry shortage.
All this shit.
Even if you do.
Guess what? I should have told them. Guess what, bitch? In-N-Out don't. In-N-Out, shout out to you. We going over and getting us some potatoes all day.
Did she end up giving you the fries?
Nope.
You think I'm tripping ordering the lettuce burger?
And you know what's
definitely
so cold? Because you know,
no,
you know
I get
so
that
cold?
One.
Fucking lettuce.
I get that one. Protein style.
Laugh at this.
You like
one.
That?
Yeah, I fuck
I
with
like
it.
I like it too. You don't need the bread.
I get the peppers chopped up inside. Put
Five Guys.
Bread on top.
Five Guys. You don't need the bun. They give you lettuce. It's good.
They give you more than enough fucking fries.
Five Guys.
Shout out to Five Guys. They'll give you all the fucking fries you want.
I've had Tams.
I'm thinking about switching to egg whites instead of eggs in the morning.
Gina's so fucking ghetto. Got to pick. I had Tams.
I'm at Tams on Rosecrans. You know, we fuck with Tams, right?
We do.
Outside of this being an early slot, it looks super different in here.
Yeah, they did.
It's given intimate.
They turned all the lights off and then they put this one.
It's the people now.
I'm sure the people in the chat are talking about how it looks different.
It's the people in here right now.
It's giving
the aura.
Sexy.
Oh, yeah, we got auras.
It's the fucking aura going right now. This shit's strong.
Now, you guys look fly. I got my hood up. I'm rocking a hoodie I already
That's
wore seven
saying,
times. This shirt is longer than this shirt.
Out of
bro,
place.
Adam, you white as fuck. We don't expect nothing else from you.
I'm trying to be even white more thing. White in the new year. I'm not going to buy clothes all year.
What are your New Year's
when
resolutions?
When you going to wear your fucking chain, Adam?
Never. New Year's resolutions?
Yeah.
Lose more weight. Get a six-pack.
Okay.
Get a six-pack.
Buy it.
You heard it.
Adam, what are
if I don't do it, if you ever see me eating bad, scold me.
Adam,
I'm gonna start
buy
slapping
it.
That shit out your hand.
Hold on, Adam, what did being rich teach you? Getting rich today, you weren't always rich. I don't think you were always having money. But when you started having money, what did it actually teach you? What could you teach the audience? Like what to do like when you start actually obtaining
it? I was pretty broke. I had like less than, you know, $10,000 for most of my life up until I was like in my early 30s. So I can definitely say that.
Like
plenty.
You weren't just having it. Having
yeah,
like
and I had like moments where maybe I was having a good amount, but realistically I was barely holding it together for like my whole life until my early 30s when No Jumper started working.
Yeah.
And I could say that the best thing that having money has taught me is how fucking meaningless it is because
wow.
This is the thing is I know I spent all those years just hustling, just trying to make money, trying to get this bag, get this bag, get this bag, do whatever I could to just get more money. And now that I actually have money and have a kid and have like a happy fucking family relationship, I'm like, oh, fuck all that. It would have been such a waste of my life if I had just been hustling my whole life. Like the fucking family shit has shown me the meaningfulness of life beyond anything that I ever knew before. And I also want to say though that I got money doing exactly what I wanted to fucking do, making the exact kind of content that I was enjoying making, pretty much just following my heart. So to me, I feel like my process of getting to the point of having money was a lot different than a lot of other people, because you know, you could get rich by just being a truck driver, by having a objectively not that great job that you fucking hate day in, day out. But then at the end of the fucking year, you're like, I saved $100,000. That's fire. Like, but I got money doing what I was passionate about. So I didn't get jaded. I didn't, if anything, I just got more excited through becoming kind of successful.
Was there times that you wanted to run away from it and you felt like you couldn't?
There was times I procrastinated by just doing shit that wasn't conductive or, you know, productive to the goal. Like I remember when we started the shop downtown, it's like there's just all the, like the world is my fucking oyster right in front of me. I've got this podcast. I can go to parties. I can meet people. I can get more content going, et cetera, et cetera. No Jumper was starting to catch steam. But then I also just started watching every single episode of Entourage. I'm spending like 5-6 hours every night doing that. And then as I got to the fucking last episode, I just fucking looked myself in the mirror and I was like, you just spent like 150 fucking hours watching that show because you are running away from all the opportunities that are on your fucking plate right now. So stop bullshitting and get to it.
Mm. Truth needs no support. That's real shit.
But I never like was like, oh, I give up. Because I had like every reason in the world to give up, and I never even thought about it.
Well, speaking of giving up, did you guys read the story about the guy who killed himself at the happiest place on earth, Disneyland?
I was just fucking read his suicide note on Sledge Lords, dude.
I was just reading that shit.
So, to give a little backstory, him and his wife, who they were secretly married for 3 years,
and he was a principal. Yeah. At a high school,
and
right?
He was actually Vashti's middle school principal.
Okay, so that's out there in the open. It was Vashti's principal, dude. That's crazy.
You knew it was. Yes, she did.
She is right there.
That's
she right
fucking
there.
Nuts.
That's crazy. Yeah.
How you just up in the office. Middle of this? That's like you're fucking Judge Ito or something, dude.
I asked her, too. I was like, was he a nice guy? She was like, he was super nice.
Yeah.
He seemed like.
I asked V. I
did
said,
you read the suicide
nice.
Note?
Yeah, I read
that's the
yeah.
note of a nice guy. He didn't blame her.
But I asked somebody that was actually around him. She was like, that was her school principal. So I said, when y'all were there, was he a nice guy? V was like, well, yeah, he was super nice. She was like, we never would have thought, you know? So it lets you know that it'd be a lot more going on on the back in the
so
back
the,
end.
Well, the wife called the police on him and he was instantly arrested and he also was on administrative leave.
Shame on
she
her.
She said that he was beating her and maybe doing something to the kids.
To the girls, too.
Do you think that he told the cops that he was molesting the kids or just like hitting the kids?
I think they were referring to physical abuse, not sexual abuse.
Okay, good.
I'm not
that's
sure,
at least
but
a little less
the
crazy.
First on the first page of the swipe over that I read, I did initially think like, oh shit, this is like sexual.
I heard she tried to recant the statements. She tried to retract. Yeah,
well, he said he had proof that she was doing that, right?
He had messages from her talking to somebody else. And basically saying, like, I didn't mean for it to go this far, you know, so on and so forth. So now she's feeling guilty about it. Imagine how guilty she's feeling right now.
And imagine her inbox on every available online platform. Imagine the shit people are sending her right now. Now, granted, she fucking deserves
nasty.
It. But also, think about the fact that those little girls are I don't know if it's all girls, but they're going to grow up one day. Mm-hmm. I think he said our girls in the note. But they're going to grow up, and they're going to slowly figure out this story.
Yeah.
Jeez.
This also brings awareness though to the justice system, just in terms of the way that a female can call. We can call the police, and I can say right now, Adam just hit me, and they're instantly going to take you to jail. It's not going to be any type of investigation.
That's why I'm sketchy around you.
They're
that's why
take
I got to keep my
you.
Fucking.
It makes
arms
sense though.
In.
No, but for real,
Adam,
for real,
I'll squabble you
because Adam did say it in the chat. Like I didn't understand it. Adam made me feel kind of weird about it because I was like, maybe I felt weird because you were right. like when you were saying it, you were like, why are y'all doing this? This ain't fucking cool.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? When you were saying that, and I was like, maybe it's because I feel like Adam was kind of right about that. Like, damn, and I wasn't looking at it like that. I was like, damn, I look at Gina just as like a coworker, like that's the homegirl. Like, nigga, she does funny shit. She like one of the fellas pretty much when it comes to how we work and move as a unit. So I didn't really look at it like that. But when you did it, it kind of made me feel awkward. Maybe it's because I didn't understand it at the time.
But the fucked up part is just that, you know, anyone could get offended or anyone
never know
could get their feelings hurt. It's not just the girls that could get their feelings hurt, but we all kind of assume that the dudes are never going to fucking, like, you know, that dudes can work shit out themselves and that girls are these special little princesses that we need to protect from the terrible things that we're talking about, which is kind of unfair. Yeah. But
well, I mean, continue to protect me. I appreciate it.
Okay.
But women, I do think, as you know, we do respond with emotion versus logic, and now this man got arrested. And
that's why we're worried about you.
Let into.
let's be real.
Adam, it's not about me. It's about her.
We don't judge women by the same standards that we judge men. Though, we judge them differently. Let's be real.
Listen to me. I'm a man that's came from dealing with women in my time. So what I do understand is you can never control a woman's emotions. When she's mad, she's mad. Mm-hmm. And she's going to push the line. Mm. That's the only way a woman knows
how you act.
But a woman knows that physically, well, some women can't physically beat up a man. You know what I'm saying? So they figure out another way to hurt him. You hurt his career. Mm. You hurt his life.
Make him jump off a building at Disneyland.
You tell him stuff that you don't, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to make your life a living fucking hell. Even though I know you didn't do this, she could possibly have told him. Like, I know you didn't do this, but I know it's my word against yours.
Yeah.
That's pushing that power. Mm. Or she That's used, misusing it.
Or she used the secrets that he didn't confide in her over these last 3 years and then used that shit against you when it's time and when it works for her. You know what I'm saying? When you sitting late night having them conversations, I'm sure he was having them conversations with his wife. He's probably telling her all his insecurities. You know what I'm saying? And then
ain't that what spouses do?
Yeah, that's what they do.
I thought that's what you're supposed to do. A lot of pillow talking goes on mm-hmm. when you're in a relationship. Right. Not a situationship, but a relationship. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be a lot of pillow talk that goes on. There's going to be a lot of things that that a man's wife's going to hear that he doesn't necessarily want her going and repeating.
At all.
But they get upset and they use it against your ass.
They don't act rational when emotions are involved.
I felt like fucking Jada Pinkett said something to Will that night. I feel like, oh, you going to keep letting this nigga roast me?
Yeah.
Oh, you going to keep letting
him say something to me?
But I'm saying then that's that look of, oh, you going to keep letting him say something about me? Wait till we get home. Because, nigga, I know all your shit. And I don't know what that may entail to. It's not my business. But I do know that conversations like that happen.
Did you guys remember the scene on A Thin Line Between Love and Hate where the character, when she was beating herself in the refrigerator?
And I've never seen that.
Sick.
Basically, it's Martin Lawrence. I forget the woman's name, the other character. But
she was fine, too.
She was pretty
back
much,
in the day. She's still a pretty black lady. I forgot her. Yeah, I forgot her name, but I know exactly who you're talking about. She was all
crazy. I can't
think
of her name. Yeah, she was crazy as fuck.
She would beat herself up and start laughing in front of his ass or something. He'd be like, bitch, you tripping.
Saying all that to say, I've seen that in person as a child with my dad, where a woman sat up there, fucks herself up, act like, yep, you going to jail, nigga. Like, watch this. You going to jail.
It's control.
Called the police. My daddy was gone for 3 years.
It's because you know what? And I want you to know something. It's a part of control, taking everything from him. Mm. She knows that at the end of the day, when you go to jail, you dead to the world. You dead to the streets. Mm-hmm. And the only person you probably have to call is her. I went to a anger management class. I had to do 52 weeks in an anger management class one time, whatever. They send you to that type of shit when you go through disputes, mm-hmm. whatever the case may be. And I ain't gonna lie, I learned a lot. Mm-hmm. I really did. You know what I'm saying? But I noticed that a lot of the people that were in this class were still with the person that put them in there.
Right.
Mm. It's kind of weird, right?
Yeah.
But it's like, a woman knows that when she puts you in jail, now you gonna listen. Because all you got is to call her. Who you gonna call?
I'm gonna call my mom.
Think about that. No,
I'm
that's
never
cool.
calling her.
Keep
no,
me away from them cool, girls.
I know what you're saying.
There's a lot of people that don't have their mama. So, nigga, who you gonna call? And that's correct. The only bitch you got. Let's say you moved across the country. You only kid. Your parents probably passed away. Whatever they ever do. But just they pass away. And all you have is you. And you go out here. You go move with this girl. You go fuck with her. And she fucks around. And she puts you in jail because she feels like you ain't listening.
But would you, if a girl lies on you to the police one time?
I'm not fucking with
I'm not gonna lie. I would rather be in my cell fucked up than call the person who put me in the cell.
To me, that's unthinkable.
At all. I'm not calling you. I've never even had to
consider that.
It's not happening.
I've thought about it like this.
It's like your friend snitching on you, but it's way worse because your friend snitching on you, he's just a dude like you, right? You know girls have superpowers in the situation. So it's like that, but worse.
So y'all, with this situation, since that is his wife, essentially, she's the person who's supposed to plan the funeral and do all that.
Never.
Wow. Let's say the funeral happens.
Not even as a family member.
Is she even allowed to come to the funeral?
No.
She can't even leave the crew.
No.
We beating that bitch up outside.
Straight up.
See, they're white.
No cap.
They white.
Okay, well, guess what? That's cool. Okay, then just do it like how you we would say, okay, a white person, hey, you're just not allowed here.
Right.
We don't need you here. Our family don't. Well, we know, Adam, you do shit a little differently.
No, but I for me,
Adam
too.
You
can hit the cemetery. You can go to the tombstone. You can leave your flowers. Just don't be there when I'm there.
Because
I hate you for life, bitch. You're the reason he's dead.
For life. Hey, that's real shit,
though. You've been around us too long.
You've been around us.
No, I'm just saying. Like, I could never.
He's rubbing off on you, bro.
He was like, that was some shit. Like, I'm trying to have a private ceremony.
But he took a page from my book.
No, he was about to say, cuz.
Listen, cuz.
You ain't allowed over here.
If the homie is dead because a bitch lied on him and said some crazy ass shit about him, then for sure she is an op for life. You cannot fuck with her in any way at all, ever.
It's up, bitch. 4L.
Forever.
Ah, well.
You must feel indifferent.
Gina.
To hear that sigh was like a, well, I feel just a little different because I feel like maybe they had a relationship you feel like nobody else knew about.
No.
Gina.
That bitch shouldn't even be allowed to breathe right now.
I don't even want to say this because I feel like you told me about a similar situation to this, but if you had a relative who was a victim of domestic abuse that ended with her dying, you can never fucking go anywhere near the dude again, right?
I'm waiting for his appeal in March.
Oh, yeah, call us.
Yeah, I'm waiting for that now.
Almighty gonna be waiting outside this
penitentiary. I actually stopped going to court for that reason because I just couldn't take it no more. It was just like, all right, this is just too much. I'm just coexisting with the saint, this is nah.
You gotta go.
You gotta, yeah. But
your expiration date is
free that man though.
Free that man so we could what?
See that man.
Stop motherfucking playing. Free that man so we could see that man.
See that man.
We don't wish jail on nobody.
Nobody.
We wish
I don't wish it on my worst enemy.
On my worst enemy. I hope you off the same earth I'm off. I don't want you to go to jail.
Need you outside, player. Mm-hmm.
Do y'all really think Governor Newsom is about to give us these reparations?
No. I fucking hope so. It's not happening, I hope so.
I don't. I think that's just some cap to get people excited.
I wish.
They would have changed that 200 years ago.
Thank you.
$223,000 per person.
To all descendants.
Boy.
If they got that type of money.
Of slaves in California for housing. Well, a lot of the slaves came from down south, so we need to probably start there.
Right.
My daddy
How are we in California first?
Yeah, there is no descendants of
I don't
of
even
slaves.
Understand.
I get what you're saying, descendants of slaves in California, but there were, no, everybody, my Let's grandparents, my grandma migrated from Alabama.
Shout out to the south, man.
There was no one just here that was,
my people, Mississippi.
You know what I'm saying? They all, yeah, my
Shout
people
out to them.
Migrated from Alabama, so you're going to have to trace your real shit to the south.
My daddy done already picked, got all the paperwork gathered together and waiting for whatever you need to upload it on.
But wasn't this like debunked? Or was there like something?
They do this every couple years.
Adam over here doing research.
They do this every couple years.
They
do this every couple years though.
Adam, is that a flower pop on the back of your phone?
You like that?
Nah.
Definitely.
It was my girl's. I took it. I like having the thing.
Pause.
Do your thing though.
Do your thing.
I'm just okay, maybe it's not debunked. I thought I saw some people saying that this was not true.
Well, I don't think it's true. I think that the headline is real and they're discussing it. I just don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, a 9-member reparations task force found that Californians who are descendants of enslaved African Americans should be compensated, you know, roughly $250,000 each due to housing discrimination practices from 1933 to 1977. Which actually, that's really interesting that they're trying to get reparations based on something much more specific.
The way they and
because it's way after slavery.
Can I speak on it? For real, I just want to touch on that and I want everybody to listen to me. Now, we're going to do this for housing discrimination, pretty much like putting people in bad areas.
Yeah.
Like pretty much putting all black folks in bad areas. But I'm going to be real, man. They put shit together for us. We just fucked it up.
But where are people?
We fucked shit up a little bit. We going to take down the courts. We take down the nets. We push the trash cans in the pool. Nobody else doing that shit, man. So we can't say that like housing did. We make it, no matter what neighborhood we live in, we make that.
But look,
One
thing I can say though is that when they started a lot of these housing things in the 70s, and I said this last time I was with Adam, is a lot of the criteria was you had to be a single black woman.
That's
we
true
couldn't
too.
Even be in the house.
No,
you had to be a single black woman. So of course you that shit made generations fucked.
It made
up
welfare.
From, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
It made welfare thrive.
To be on welfare, you couldn't have a black man.
Yeah,
in your
it made
house.
Welfare thrive.
It don't work.
I'm just saying. I feel like it starts within our people, man. We could take care of these communities. We could take care of
we
these neighborhoods.
We shouldn't have accepted the
it
welfare
it starts
shit.
With us. I'm not going to listen, homie, because and this, if we're going to get to talking about what the white man do to us, hey, man, that's cool. Fuck all the bullshit. It's about what we do when we in these neighborhoods. We can't keep blaming them, homie. We got to take responsibility at some fucking point in time here to say, okay, enough is enough. You don't see sit-ins. I don't see people doing what Martin Luther King did, Malcolm X, by any means necessary. The man stood for something. There was principles. There was no guns involved. It was never power of gun. It was power of mind. That's what I want to see come back. And I think that that's what's going to help rejuvenate our communities. Because I care about what's going on in our community, homie. We can't keep blaming the outsiders if that's what we're going to consider it. We have to start taking control of that. Who else are we going to blame?
One thing I want to say, every civil dispute that we've had since I've been... adolescent, I've been at every single one.
Yeah.
Trayvon Martin riots,
yeah.
Everything. Since Trayvon, I've been at every single thing. So, it's a lot of shit that goes on in a city that we do that might not be televised. That's
Almighty.
How it was 40 years ago. You know
I
what I'm saying? Because I'll be there.
Almighty, I can't blame the white man for this man becoming my op. I had to make him my op.
But
we had to have a problem.
Nah,
we had
but
to
the white man
our own
made it.
Problem.
Nah.
We gotta live together.
I think
church.
We gotta get back to the origin of it though, because it wouldn't
by
even,
living together.
I couldn't even had no yeah. op if they didn't even put us in a displacement to where we had to strive. If our communities was able to thrive, and every time we do get something, they come take it. Black Wall Street. Every time we build something within the community, they come tear it down to where now I have to take something from you. Because the motherfuckers, when we establish something, they come knock it down.
I'm just talking about our communities at hand and us putting together just like keeping our shit safe, keeping our shit clean. That's mm-hmm. what I thought gangs was created for. It was to protect the people that couldn't help themselves in smaller communities. That's what I saw gangs even get created for. Mm-hmm. It was to protect people who couldn't protect themselves. From whether it was the law, whether it was other enemies, it was to push out the bullshit. Mm-hmm. I don't really see that anymore.
Look, yeah.
I have not heard that from one motherfucking mouth that they say, hey, man, we just trying to keep the bullshit out and keep the riffraff out. You know what I'm saying? That's what I respect. And I got homies that came from back in the day. And that's why I feel like that's the narrative we should be pushing. Because I feel like we would get a lot more respect, not just from people in the streets, but from people in the world. They'll listen to us. Mm-hmm. We will move mountains. This shit will turn small. There's a bigger picture to this shit.
Yeah.
I just feel like there is, and if we can start to really pinpoint what's going on with us, I think that we'll start to get somewhere. Fuck anybody else from the outside. They don't matter. It's us that matter. Mm-hmm. Black is beautiful. Black is excellence. Let's get it back to that.
Mm-hmm. There's tons of examples of
I see Wallo trying to push the narrative. I see a lot of other like YouTubers and influencers and just people like that trying to really push the narrative, but people don't really cling to that. We more cling to the riffraff and the drama.
But there's so many good examples of like black entrepreneurs over the last few years. And it's like, I feel like somebody like Wallo and Gilly are definitely an example of a success story of black dudes who are just literally from
Shout
nothing.
Shout out to Wallo and Gilly.
Who have just built like one of the biggest hip hop podcasts off literally nothing besides their mouthpieces. But also it's like, there's a big difference between like certain extremely talented outlier examples who are able to be successful. It's just like them being successful is an inspiration to a lot of like much smaller creators who maybe can make 500 or $1,000 a month off of YouTube. But ultimately, like, that's not the systematic change that has to take place in order for the average black person in the hood to have a better life, you know?
Facts.
We got to help each other. Hey, homie, I'm going to say this. I see the Mexicans helping each other. Them niggas are moving 10 man into a house of 10. And guess what happens? The one that started it, the other nine will get it up, and then all nine of them will go get houses. And they'll put 10 of their people in it. Nigga, when you seen that with our people?
We can't.
We need to start doing something. Man, we could try.
We can't. Let's we try. Are welfare. Everybody got to get out the house when we do the weekly check.
We can put it together. Them people be coming with nothing. Half them people be immigrants. They don't even be having nothing to even get welfare.
Because they're going to get outside and
well, let's get, what get outside.
Saying. I get what you're saying. And at
let's
the same
get outside.
Time, we can say that, but it's like we didn't. I get exactly where you're coming from. I feel you.
We have excuses. I'm with you on that. But it can
it's
only
not
go
excuses.
So far.
We got, it's reasons, not excuses. Reasons, we got reasons, real reasons.
Reasons.
Like,
but
you get what I'm saying?
After a while, they're going to start looking like excuses. We can change this shit.
All right. Serious question. Every hood has like a liquor store, and like 90% of the time, it's not owned by black people, right?
Facts.
Yeah.
What's to stop black people from just starting up their own liquor store across the street?
Can't even get a loan.
It's hard to get a
How
loan.
How the fuck am
but
I going
to certain individual black people
liquor
for
license
sure could.
Hard to get, man.
It's hard.
Liquor license is hard to get for, but especially for a black person.
It's hard.
I'm just saying that black people should literally, from my perspective, if you really care about black people owning the institutions in your neighborhood, you should just literally, every business that's owned by somebody who you view as like a vulture or whatever, just start a competing business and take them out of business.
I'm too busy. I'm too busy trying to worry about.
Than done.
But I'm too busy trying to worry about outshining the next nigga. So how the fuck am I gonna worry about trying to go get me a business? I'm just being real. I'm too worried about trying to get a bigger chain than the next nigga, bigger rims than the next thing. I'm too worried about trying to get me a Rolls right now because this nigga got S63 and he's shitting on me. I'm too worried about getting that. I'm not thinking about going to get no liquor license at him.
But it could be a profitable business for
but you know where that stems
that
from,
person,
though.
Right?
It's that like, stems from, nigga, I can't even read this book, so I'm finna be in the field with you picking up shit bigger than you can. Because well, I can't even do the shit that the people who are hired enough, I can't even read. So I'm going to compete with you on a level that you can because I don't even know that there's anything past these four blocks that I have because my grandmom don't know, my dad mom don't know, and the people, when they did come here, you had to be a certain way to get the certain things. Like, you know what I'm saying? As far as getting your housing, and I go back to that, like, to get shit right, you need to have a place to stay. You need to have access to education and access to health and food. Health, food, care, land. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? Health, food, care, land. And to get the home, we can't have the black man inside the house. So now when you don't have the black man inside the house, who's going to now we have systematic.
And it was that's a systematic mixture. And I get that, but we don't have to come on, bro. We don't got to allow that to happen. We change the pace in the game. It's up to us. We have control too. Let's take our control. I want my people. We take control.
But then
2024, we need to start fucking taking control and we can start really owning this shit because black people, we have power. But I just feel like we misuse it. Go ahead, Gina.
Well, in response to Adam's question, I think probably like
no, he goes, Adam, hold on. And then he goes, Gina, next.
No, I'm saying because
before
I'm
we get off
nobody,
of Adam's question,
get on the, you know what I'm saying, the good
it's okay.
One.
All right,
we don't have to solve systematic racism
Adam,
right now.
Let me say this. When you just said, well, why don't you guys go try and do X, Y, and Z and just buy, do you guys remember about the Crenshaw Plaza when the black people just tried to buy the Crenshaw Plaza and they took the lower bid from the white man?
When was that? Mm-hmm.
This was just maybe last year or year before. This is really? Very recent. They just sold the Crenshaw Plaza. Black community group loses bid to buy LA Mall despite being the highest bidder.
I'm just saying, like, I'm a BMX dude, and if there's a BMX shop that I don't like, I could just open one up across the street.
Of course you can.
You're out of business.
Well, that does exist. That's what I was trying to say. It's probably, like, not liquor stores or 7-Elevens or anything, but there are places in the hood that are owned by black people, and it's not up to the people. I don't think the people that still live in a hood and are still there can afford it. It's more so the people who have got money and got out the hood that is able to do
but
that.
But that's how it's supposed to be. You're some guy who went to college, so you just fucking open up a bunch of restaurants in your neighborhood
too.
Or something. Yeah, yeah,
it
yeah.
It could
but
be a hood nigga, too.
But, you know, at some point, you're going to have to figure out how to, like, get a decent amount of capital. And there probably are loans and funds and shit out there that you
they're
might
just
be able
not
to
but they're not giving them to people
not
like us, bro.
Them.
And that, and not. I feel where he's coming from on that. They're not really trying to give us any of that, man. They're trying to keep us in a certain area. And I feel you. They're not giving people loans. They're not just trying to give everything to everybody. But my nigga, we gotta try.
But do y'all know what EDD opened the door for?
I'm not taking that away.
But y'all,
we gotta
y'all,
you got them, but y'all. Fuck with the white people. Like think what y'all would think of us. No, man, we got to try. I get it. It's our own problem. We're going to take care of this for our own people. We don't need nobody to look in. Fuck your welfare. Fuck all that shit. We don't need none of that shit. We're going to build this shit up, and we can be strong too, bro. That's how we keep getting looked down upon. I want us to break away from that. Break those shackles.
But there,
man, we don't live in a time anymore to where, like, we, me and you, Almighty, Gina, we was never slaves. We was never any of that. We can read. we can read. So we do have that. We can't say, like,
that's why
whether
I said
my
like
grandmama
we
can't read or my
grandpa
can't read.
And that's how
they
reach
it. It's an excuse.
Now, we can read.
Now we can read, but now we can't get loans.
But y'all.
I can't get bank loans.
But now we're not
now
acknowledging.
We can't move in certain neighborhoods.
We're not acknowledging those black people who have franchised the Sheiks and have Millennium Shoe Stores and Lace, which is owned by a black man. And there's restaurants.
They letting
shit.
Us in, but you know
people
what I'm saying?
People is buying these Tams and things like that.
Didn't
like,
QC
this shit
buy
does
60
exist.
Bojangles or some shit? You know?
I think
a lot of these fucking Subways are franchise. People are doing it. So
that shit, they could really put money into the community if those people choose to support
their shit. With EDD open up the door for it. Do y'all know how many fucking Lash Techs exist now when these bitches just open up shops and stuff? My best friend just bought a shop.
But is that a good thing?
EDD's was not a good thing.
Does the world
put everybody in debt? But everybody in fucking debt.
They?
You got to pay all that shit back.
I'm just saying that that for us to say that there's a lack of resources. That's what I'm saying. You have to be. If I'm somebody that want to buy a fucking 7-Eleven, and I'm not saying that, Adam, you would give me the money. But if you are a resource, it's like, let me figure out how I can get this done.
But you should start a black 7-Eleven. Brainstorm. Call it Blevin.
Hey,
well, I actually want a vending machine.
Did you know five people, when people was getting checks for EDD, right? Yeah. I didn't get shit. I was a real street nigga. I was still trapping out the street, so I didn't really touch nothing. They didn't give me nothing, nigga. I didn't get no checks to nothing. Mm-hmm. Did you know five people that probably touched 30 to 40,000?
I know people who touched
that
more.
That they really, okay, touched more. And all they went and bought was crab legs,
I
liquor,
know people.
And clothes.
And rooms at the level.
And rooms. And I seen so
I know
many
people
in
bought
Vegas,
real
nigga,
estate.
At that time.
Dunks.
I know I people know. Who bought real estate in Houston.
Hey, let me tell you something. Well, I haven't seen any of that getting posted on Instagram. I've seen crab legs. Good,
I know people
good
who
dinners,
started rental
clothes,
car businesses.
And nothing else.
Like people was making a lot of people did fuck the money off, but at the same time, a lot of people put good use
that
to
shit
it.
Was a loan.
Off
that
EDD
shit
fraud?
Was never free yeah. money.
Off fraud.
I think the problem
have
is
fraud. Like you do it off drug money.
The problem
it's,
is
you know?
Financial literacy is the problem. When I'm gonna keep it 1,000. If Adam get $100,000, look, if you give me $100,000 right now, I'm gonna keep it a band. I'm going to buy a watch. I'm going to keep it a band.
No, I understand why. No,
I'm going to keep it a band.
Watch
the first time, keep it a band.
The first time I ever got a big check, $200,000, I didn't buy nothing. I put it in the bank.
Financial. And I'm just saying, and I get it, though. And I'm just saying to speak to the average average nigga who looks like me. They've never even seen $100,000, you know what I'm saying? Or when they do get that, the first thing we want to do is be able, just like Sharp said,
I did buy a grill, I think,
harder than the next nigga.
Who's next nigga?
That's my mentality.
That's my mentality.
Another reason why we do that to shine so hard is because when I walk in these white-ass places, they look at me like I'm a bum. Unless I have this shit on. They look at me like I'm crazy. When I walk in with this shit, they be like, oh my God, what do you do? When I don't, they follow me around the store.
Oh my mama.
So ooh, I do this shit for a
talk
reason.
Talk that shit though.
You feel me?
Yeah.
Because I don't like how niggas ooh. Be like, oh, we can do it too. Nah.
Yes.
If I walk in looking like Adam, a nigga's gonna follow me. If I walk in your store with the hoodie, all black and nothing on, they're gonna follow me.
Can I tell you something?
I promise
when we were downtown, there was a dude, Evan, I think it was, who worked across the street from us at this vape shop, right? Black dude, and he would dress super proper every day. He'd wear like a button-up shirt, tucked in, jeans, whatever. And I remember saying to him one time, I'm like, why you keep the preppy dress code? And he goes, bro, if you're a black dude working in downtown LA and you want to be taken seriously, you better fucking dress nice because everybody will fucking mistake you for a crackhead or a crazy person
straight
if
up.
You don't. And I've just realized in that moment that, like, yeah, downtown, like, when probably, like, 80% of the homeless people are black or some shit, it's like, imagine that guy, like, it's on him. And he's a dude who wants to be taken seriously, not in the way of, like, rocking a diamond watch or whatever or rocking a chain. He just wants to be taken serious as, like, a worker at a company. So he got to really dress, like, way more proper than everybody else who works there
to
keep that impression.
Establishment,
you know?
Still.
I would feel more comfortable walking, I'm not gonna lie to you, in Skid Row with a watch on and a chain because people respect you more for who you are, not really what you're wearing. You gotta kind of stand for something. As of like more in a corporate media world, jewelry and cars and clothes, it do play a little bit of a determining factor in how you do get treated.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying? And I feel you on that. That's why when we get up to go to the mall, it's okay for you, Adam, to roll out the bed. You can roll into some clothes and go to the mall. You probably won't get treated any different. You're going
to
walk
you put your little sweatsuit on. You're
going to
look good. Come on.
Money
you could have not showered in a week.
Like,
you put on a nice little Palm Angels sweatsuit.
I could put on all my jewelry the nicest clothes that I just bought from Neiman Marcus, and they still gonna follow me around. Mm-hmm. I'm just being real with you. It's just a little different, bro.
Hey, I got tattoos. They probably gonna follow me around too, but I did this to myself.
They don't give a fuck about that though.
You and
don't...
that's a little different though. He did it. I've been profiled. Though. I just wake up like black.
You probably you know get
profiled.
You
but
did it to yourself. That's
but,
a little
but,
different.
But it is. It's literally it's like different. A white dude's version of like turning yourself into a fucking minority. As you get these face tattoos so that you can be like, I look a little edgy, you know.
Facts, and that was a choice, nigga. I didn't have no choice. I was just born a nigga, but I was just saying
I get
to,
the difference, for sure.
I was,
you feel
too.
Me? I'm just saying that to say, like, we gotta do certain shit just to even feel like a nigga even matter in a certain space. And it's not about how we feel. It's how a nigga gets treated and with the people who run this shit. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? If, like I just said, with Adam, when you come outside the house looking like how we, they already expect him to have money, not because he's Adam 22, just because of how he looks. He's Caucasian. They just expect for him, and I'm not saying that's always right.
And I got the blower on me.
White people who come from the slums too. You know what I'm saying?
They better respect me.
There's Caucasians who come from the slums, nigga, trailer parks and all type of shit like that.
I know a few of them.
I for sure know some.
I know a few of
them. But just the overall look on it, I always say it's not about what it is, it's about how it looks. You know what I'm saying? Because you could be a certain way, but it's about how it looks. You could be the most most outstanding citizen. But if the lawyer, if the prosecution make you look demonized, you're going down. It doesn't matter if you were the best person your whole life. It's all about perception.
Talk that shit.
You know what I'm saying? It's about perception. You could have been the greatest nigga your whole life.
Yeah.
And it's all about perception. If they can paint that picture, and I'm just saying that to say it's perception with shit. And we try to get a better perception of how we look when we go in places so we can get treated the same way how a white dude who can walk in with nothing gets treated. That's it.
I feel you.
A nigga don't want to get treated differently when we go to these places. That's all it be, you know?
Sometimes I wonder what type of slave I would have been.
Oh, my God.
But come on. We was such on a good roll
we
here.
Because y'all getting a little
we
too serious
on
here.
Fire.
Oh, it's really not.
Getting
so let me tell you what I think.
Because I want him to see that we can actually have these kind of conversations.
Yeah, I can do
because
this.
You know what's so cold? People are afraid to have these conversations with black people.
Right.
So I want to show them we can have these. We can, but
or
we
they
can
think
have these
conversations. I was like, that's the most inappropriate conversation I could ever weigh in on.
Have these conversations.
For real. Like, yeah, I think we're in a good place right now. Because it actually gets a show, I believe it shows Adam and maybe some of the other viewers some type of transparency from this. Some type of transparency. Might not be all the way on point, but we're at least four individuals trying to deliver that. Some type of transparency, you know what I'm saying, throughout all of this. I'm not on either side. I feel like it's fucked up on both sides. We need to fix it. I'm not going to keep blaming the white man. I'd rather go get my people because I'm tired of hearing their fucking mouths. And I think that we can get this shit together on our own and we can have some real black excellence, nigga, and we might fuck around and really start really owning some shit.
Well, that's why I'm saying I'm tired of
some
the...
scared, like, we're really start scaring them.
But then
the
it's going to be a problem.
We
I
have
promise
the
you.
Resources.
Well, at least we'll be in position by that point to be able to go even have a problem
this happened,
with
nigga,
people.
Black Wall Street.
We have the resources to be successful. It's all about utilizing them.
They don't
all
like
that.
These conversations, Gina, because this will really bring us all together, including Adam. Adam will start even taking like, oh, okay, I really do fuck with people that they see it. Like, they can understand it. Nobody's sitting there just stuck in a box.
But I think we're able to go out and get the shit that we want and start the businesses that we want to do. I don't believe that they're holding us back anymore. We are seeing too many black successful entrepreneurs to continue to make that the excuse is that they holding us back and they not providing us with these opportunities when we should be going to get them ourselves.
Look, Gina, I feel that. I feel like the door was closed, right? And I feel like they just cracked it a little bit and was like, you niggas can get through because y'all knocking on it too hard.
Yeah.
So we're going to crack it a little bit, let a couple of y'all get in. How many black billionaires is it really, though?
But how
like,
about
really
this?
Though.
Get to it.
But how
really
about this?
Though.
We are
it's
in
a handful.
We are living in the era in the time of the entrepreneur. Our parents told us to go to fucking college and be regular people. Like, where do we put any type of accountability on them? When I told my daddy I wanted to do media, he was like, you should go be an RN.
My mama, when I told my mama,
you know, this
I wanted
is
to
foreign
be
to them,
a rapper,
to the generations
she told me,
before
go
us.
Go do something more realistic.
When you grow up in different, when you grow up in low-level situations, you'll start to see from a very early age that that type of shit, being doctors and lawyers and, yeah, that shit sounds cool.
Sounds great.
That shit sounds cool, homie. But when you start to see that that's probably not going to be your trajectory or that's not going to be the way that you're going to get to be able to catapult because of lack of resources, you start to try to stem to other
Can
things.
Can you really sacrifice 12 years of school when you're trying to survive?
You start to look at other things, man. You know? Like, come on, bro. There's people that have problems going to school that have kids that are single mothers. Or
fuck
single
all that.
Fathers.
I'm putting a bitch on beach and ball, right?
Oh, my God.
No, you're not.
No, you're not.
Fucking Almighty, don't please don't.
That's
hit
my
me
new spot.
Don't do please that. Don't hit me.
Don't fucking.
That's where I'm at.
He started that shit.
We gonna beat your ball, right?
I'm trying to get beat no? up on the show today, bro. Live stream. That would fucking do another 5 million, wouldn't it?
Hey, ask about me. I'm on tracks, boy. I'm on tracks,
you
boy.
Fucking
that's my favorite
shit.
Quotable
ask
from
about
that.
Me. I'm on tracks, boy.
No cap. Hey, I really meant it, dog. I felt it in hard. My soul. Nigga, I was passionate as fuck.
Oh, I felt the ism.
Adam, do you respect the tracks? You respect Blades?
Sure.
Do you respect, you know what I'm saying? Like,
sure. Ain't been to many.
Working Blades, do you respect that? Are you
I respect
with
anybody
it?
Out here trying to get some honest money. Talk now, I shit. Assume a lot of that shit ain't honest. There's probably a lot of guys taking advantage. Probably a lot of bitches fucked up on drugs. I don't know. But in theory, if that's where I believe
the niggas that we trying to weed out,
I believe prostitution should be legalized and you know, regulated. I've been to Amsterdam. I've seen how it can go down in a regulated, controlled environment that's safe for everybody involved. And I don't think it needs to be taking place on some random fucking street in LA. That's bad for everybody. Mm. It's never going to go away. They need to just license it, regulate it, make it so it can be on the up and up.
Well, I believe that it's at the point to where it's just like marijuana, right?
Right.
They didn't legalize it because I feel like they didn't really understand how to tax it at first because they didn't really believe that people were going to be honest
right.
about it, you know what I'm saying, about the situation and what they really make because, you know, in things like that, it's always been a hustler's mentality, it's, you know, it's on the street. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So you'll never really know how much people make. That's cool, but let's think about how many things that they have legalized or things that they do that you don't know people make still more on the side. So it's like, can you really, like, sit there and try to call that, like, a black hole to where, like, oh, well, we don't really know how to tax it, so we're not going to legalize it. You know how to tax it, just like you tax every fucking thing else. Figure out a system.
Right.
Figure out a system. Like, come on. You Only figure fans. Out systems for everything else. Figure out a system.
OnlyFans.
No, I don't know. No, level. Let's be real.
Not
let's
like
be real
licenses
because they don't. Yeah,
cards
they don't.
And
they don't really consider OnlyFans. OnlyFans, like I said, that shit brought in a whole different realm of people. It's ran by a different realm of people. It's not ran from people that actually like started on the streets. Like I said, this
ran by the creators
for OnlyFans.
152.
Let's. Okay.
I heard it started off as like a sports type of thing.
Fun
OnlyFans.
Yeah.
152.
Fun. Hey, fun fucking fact. Okay. For OnlyFans, for people that think that OnlyFans really pops, for OnlyFans, you already had to have a following
Thank
somewhere
you.
Else. You don't just pop off of OnlyFans.
That's why mine didn't go anywhere.
That's, yeah,
but
that's
it's
why
all
people,
the social media platforms that everybody else has.
You had
to
already been teasing people on other shit to where you had a cool 250,000 followers, 350,000 followers.
OnlyFans
where you can,
is a bad platform
where you can migrate them.
But, it's just a place to send people
right,
so that
right.
they can give you money.
To send people
right.
from your other social media
But
platforms.
That's what you have to have
you
somewhere
have to have a
else
following
where you can
somewhere
migrate
else.
This.
You can't even see a photo damn near when you go to people's OnlyFans. It actually sucks. I wish I could go at it and like look at 10 photos of the chick before I decide I want to fucking drop money on it or whatever. Do we have another topic that we could talk about here?
I would actually like to partake in some bad podcasting.
In what way?
I want to go back to the first question I asked you.
What was that?
How do you feel about... other media platforms saying that No Jumper is a circus.
Kind of overlooked that, I ain't gonna lie.
Circus sounds fair.
Do I? Felt do that. I, I'm
At
gonna be real.
In
Adam,
recent memory.
Adam, like, you, hey, but Adam, yeah. I'm gonna be real. I don't really think that we have any acts.
That part.
I'm gonna just be real with you. Like, I can understand, like,
That's
if
fair.
We had fucking, like, this script or something, right? To where you're like, all right, well, Sharp, we know how you get down. Look, you're gonna go in on this bitch. I've never gotten instructions like
well,
that. Like, we don't do that here.
Specifically, in reference to the drama that happens here, that, you know, you can kind of come here, you might get squabbled.
We're trying to tamp down on it a little bit. You know, obviously, the squabble, that's like, you know, that only happened once.
Yeah.
Obviously, I mean, Flacco.
That was in rare form.
Flacco did get spit on. He kind of asked for it, to be totally honest.
But that shit was all in rare form.
It seemed like it's becoming to the outsiders, like, this is a reputation.
Nah, that was an exception to the rule. We tamping down on that energy. We're not trying to encourage any of that kind of silliness. That was just an outlier incident that occurred with somebody who realistically. Kind of pushed it a little too much.
It feels good to hear that from a higher up in the office. Like, yeah. We don't really talk about it, but for you to sit there and air that out on stream, like, and tell people, that does make me feel a little bit better about the situation.
I just look at us. I don't want us to beef internally.
Right.
At all. I look at TDE. I look at fucking QC. That's how we should move. Mm-hmm. We could talk about other people's drama, But right. in terms of our drama,
talk their shit.
Sharp, if I have the biggest fucking beef in the world with you, if me and you have this crazy fucking thing that we're arguing about behind the scenes, I don't think we need to make content about it or that anybody needs to know about it unless it's like, yo, Sharp, that thing that we were beefing about that we're kind of over now, let's talk about it. Or if we have a gentlemanly dispute, it doesn't need to be the biggest thing in the world. But right. I don't believe in using our petty grievances
our problems for content.
And I also don't like having people close to our universe who are doing that, who are basically like hyping up beef between people for content. I don't think
we need to do that.
We got to tamp down on it.
So. How about, because we did this last week.
I like that shit.
Me, Almighty, and Flocko did this last week, and it was probably our first time doing it. We don't really touch on office drama.
I'm
going to
get a bottle. I'm going to let y'all talk about
that. What are your thoughts on that? Like, just people talking about office drama on the live shows.
I think it's stupid. I think we should not encourage it. And yeah, I mean, listen, outsiders are going to talk about us no matter what.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I just don't think we should feed into it. And I think there's been way too much of that. And I would like to, you know, gradually do shit about it.
I think we need to clamp down on a lot of the messiness before it spirals out of fucking control. You know?
That's what I'm saying.
Because the bigger the staff get, like, we know each other pretty well in here. I don't talk to everybody every day, but you know what I'm saying? Well, not all of us, but we know each other pretty well. But the bigger we get, the harder this shit is going to be able to get a fucking control on. That shit is going to get out of hand fast. And I'm one of the newest niggas here, and I can see it. Like, you know, the more people we add on, it's hard to weed out personalities before you get here. It's kind of easy to weed out my personality because I was a kind of public.
You came in hot.
You know what I'm saying?
But
and
this
from
is my
before
thing.
Already.
Talking about internal gossip and drama is something that people do because they're insecure about making content about real shit. Mm-hmm. You know? Like, there's real shit going on in the world. We can come in and have conversations about that. But taking a little shit that's going on behind the scenes or whatever, if me and Gina have a dispute about her fucking job and I don't like how she's doing a job or she doesn't like how she's getting paid or whatever, like, let's say it was either of those situations, I mean, we could have that conversation privately, right, and it'll be healthy and probably work out well. We don't have to fucking put that on blast to the world. And if we do, it should be 100% artist's decision, which is, that's one thing that annoys me, is just the idea of like other people feeling like they get to fucking this, like, take drama in the office and just turn this into their little thing. It's like, why are we even, like, tolerating that?
Because what shit is public, you can't take it back.
Is that a new thing? That's because it seemed like before.
Well, having so many people associated with the company.
It was smaller.
If you think about the history of No Jumper. The early days downtown, it was like me, Cam Girl, House Phone, and this dude, Robesman, right? Then we get to the Melrose spot. It's like me, Hakeem was on camera a little bit. You have House Phone, you have Cam Girl, but still didn't really grow that much. We had some random people come on camera, but it wasn't that many. It was mostly interviews still at that time. Even the No Jumper show was like super new in the Melrose spot. Then we're on Santa Monica, still pretty small. Then AD comes in, and that's when all of a sudden the crew starts growing a bunch. Like, was basically AD. After AD came in, that kind of made me realize, like, oh, like, before that, we hadn't really had a ton of success with making people like the host that much. Like, it just hadn't really worked that good. And then with AD, it didn't work at first. They weren't really fucking with them at first. But then, like, we saw it growing, like, every fucking week. And it kept kind of growing. And that gave me the confidence to be like, oh, okay, maybe we can do that more.
An issue that I have with these platforms who do talk shit about No Jumper. Because
everybody wants to be us, Gina. Come on.
Facts. And if they could come and work here, they would.
You have your back and forth with, you know, you have to defend yourself on a particular podcast. I think that it's ignored that there are radio stations in LA that don't employ black people.
You're on your Dejan wave, huh?
No.
Coming in like Dejan. How do I say it?
Dejan.
Dejan Paul.
And a good point, you know, that he made is that these radio stations are not employing black people. And although we have drama over here, Adam is employing black people.
Adam took me off the street. Like, nigga, I was in the streets before this. I'm going to keep that shit a band. I told Lord, this nigga, this shit a super blessing. Nobody doing what he doing. Nigga took me off the streets and put me in front of a camera and said, do your thing. I see a big future with this shit. Who the fuck is doing that?
I don't see myself as that different from you guys. Now, maybe I'm crazy.
You also refer to yourself as AD's twin, so there's that.
That's delusional. Well, there is the Black Adam movie out now.
I think, too. Dang, I forgot what I was about to say. When you handed me the drink,
I'm straight.
I
know you
be on that water, man. I got
to. I'm actually about to hit the limit. I got to go piss and eat steak real quick. So I'm going to let you guys finish up the ending part of this. But yeah. Then after this, Baba Lamb, me and Flacco will be on. We're going to see what that fucking slow motion car crash is going to look like.
Oh, boy.
You said it.
Yeah.
We you glad just you put said that shit
on record. It's on them for it to yeah, not nigga, be
Adam,
that.
We're going nowhere.
So it's on them for it to not
Adam,
be that.
Adam, you just said that after that speech you just gave about us doing shit like that.
Shout out to Babylon.
Hating on each other.
Yeah.
I'm not really hating. I'm being sarcastic.
Adam.
I'm being sarcastic. I think it's going to be amazing.
Well, what kind of car ride is this?
This right here?
Yeah. Is this a crash or what do you think?
Oh, like a car. No. This is a lovely convoy headed down the...
He about to text Josh and say, yeah, the Monday show's not working out.
Slide into the garage.
This is Fig.
Shark came in. They're fucking playing.
I'm out.
Yeah. Bye, Adam. Thank you.
I think this is where we should be, though. I think this is where the conversation gets healthy. I think this is what... This shit is good. Mm-hmm. I like this shit.
You feel?
I like fucking getting you over here in a little bit of smoke. Like, man, Shark. All right, nigga, let's get it. I feel like, I like
you,
that.
You feel me? Because I don't like when motherfuckers be like, niggas just be agreeing and nah. It's just, we agree on a lot of shit, but the one time I did just disagree, nigga, I'm going to say something. The fuck? We grown men. It's okay to do that.
Niggas acted like me and you didn't argue for a whole hour.
Like, come on. Like, that's
all
okay.
They do is
it's
just
not
like
an argument. It's a great debate.
Like, you feel
it's
me?
It's a great debate.
That's cool.
It should be like that.
You feel me? No cap. I don't want to be around people who just agree with me all the time, nigga. Correct the nigga sometimes. Everybody needs correction at times.
Hey, speaking of not always agreeing, Gorilla says women should go 50-50 in on relationships.
I like how you did that because you know what I was going to do? I was going to say, fuck that topic because I didn't want to get on relationships. But I like how you did that.
I'm just riding off my man shit. You know, like speaking of,
so,
you know,
Glorilla,
50-50 on situations, you know?
You dropped your lighter.
You 50 Glorilla. Ass, man, speaking on it, you 50-50 ass niggas.
So this is our last topic. We're going to get out of here so they can set up for the next pod. But Glorilla went on his rant saying that she believes that women should go 50-50 with their dudes. And I agree.
Okay. You want me to start? Want me to help you out here?
Go ahead.
I agree. Listen, even coming from my backgrounds, because I come from situationships, not relationships, but I do feel I'm going to agree with Gorilla. And I don't, Glorilla, and I don't think she even understands why I'm about to agree with her, but I'm about to get ready to break it down. I feel that when you're in a real relationship, I'm talking about boyfriend, girlfriend, everybody listen that's in relationships, when you go 50-50 on situations, it makes y'all respect each other a little bit more. When there's one person taking care of more than the other, that's when the respect factor is going to get imbalanced.
And power comes in there.
Yeah, now I feel like even if I did, like, let's say I'm making more money than you, right, Gina, me and you together. Or let's say you making more money than me. If you felt like you wanted to cheat on me, you're going to probably do it. You probably think about it more because I ain't really doing shit. You mad at me at home.
I'm the financially dominant.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to fuck up my living situation for sure. Yeah. I'm good regardless.
This is my thing, though, with women. And I understand the whole, you know, fly out, buy a bag, and a man is just supposed to pay for everything. But how is it that a man is going to be financially stable? I don't like this right here.
My bad, Gina. My mama says she liked today's show.
Hey, Mom. Hey,
I respect
mama.
The elders. So when I see that, you know, Mom sticking, you know, she come in.
She don't be texting me that too often. She texts me today, said I like today's show.
Why are we ending the show so early?
Well, the new...
For who?
Man.
I mean, we could go over.
Speak on it.
I could kick
the feet up.
Like how I was last week.
Moms just gave the okay.
Thank you. My mama just said I like today's
show. And I feel
show.
Like we just getting fucking, hey man, we just settling in around this motherfucker.
The fucking
I know it. The real Monday
the
show.
Whole
she tried to blink it
out.
The
you just
real.
Blew the mic
I
out.
Just blew the whole
you
motherfucking
the mic
out.
Riley.
The real Monday show. You never know who you're going to see.
I feel like the teacher just left. We can get a little comfortable,
ignorant as fuck.
I can slap.
Hey, that's when the teacher go home early because he's sick and they waiting
like
for the sub.
This the real breakfast. This the real no quote no
shots.
No relations to the actual Breakfast Club, but to the actual movie. I feel like this the real Breakfast Club, man. We in on Saturdays, man. We all looking good, and we just doing what we do.
You did.
I like it.
A whole lot of Fly Gervin.
Everybody looks good. Like, everybody looks presentable. Everybody looks clean. Nobody looks like they smell. Nobody looks musty. Everybody looks like they're on point. And everybody's ready.
You seen that before?
Once or twice.
Yeah.
You know.
A little razzle dazzle here and there.
No, but I'm just saying, like, once or twice. Sometimes, man, settings are for the people that probably should be sitting around each other.
Yeah, yeah.
When it's circle time, it's circle time. So boys and girls gather around the campfire.
Well, let's get back
to
Glorilla.
This is the Monday show.
Let's get back to Glorilla.
Let's get it.
So what I was saying is I don't understand how women think that their boyfriend or, you know, whoever they're in a relationship with can be financially stable if they're taking care of both of them.
And then they want that at 20 years old.
I know the bitch gonna start disrespecting me. Like, if that's what I'm in, like, I'm in a relationship. This is my girlfriend, and I know I ain't really doing nothing but sitting on my ass playing Xbox.
She's gonna disrespect you.
It might be cool.
Come on.
Until, you know, the little spell wear off.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? We're not until really, now the real relationship starts to settle in. Your dickmatized
runoff.
Yeah, that dickmatized runs off. And now she's kind of looking at me. Now everything, you know, that happens kind of irritates her. Shit, I might burp and it might be too close to her food. Now she's done.
Facts.
If a nigga burp too close to my food,
now
I'm
she's
be mad
done. Like, now she's like, well, fuck it. Now you can just have the shit. You know what
right.
I'm saying?
Go
like,
ahead.
You ain't even, I don't even want to deal with it no
I'm
more.
Definitely.
I'm
definitely
saying
it happens.
Right. It
like
brings
that.
A different respect when
it
both of y'all go 50-50 because
you
I know
used to
for
be
a
cool
fact.
With me eating with my mouth open. Now it's starting to bother you. And I probably done closed it up a little bit meeting you. Mm-hmm. But now it's starting to bother you. It's a little shit that didn't bother you before starting to bother you now because you done got comfortable and you're starting to settle in.
And then I think to throw another point in there is how could you expect somebody to feel completely secure with every day? Because what the fuck if I fall off?
Yeah.
What if that person who fall off, whether it's you or the dude, what if they fall off? What if they had a bad month? What if I get what if they get sick? Mm-hmm. Anything. And you just 100% and the other person is I got coochie for you or I got dick and Xbox in the crib. Mm-hmm. Like if a person lose their job or it's that's a much more better for someone's mental health if I know that if I have a bad month, so-and-so is going to pick up slack around this motherfucker and we're going to be good regardless. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of pressure for one person.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying? To just mentally take care of. They got to take care of their own mental health, yours, and the bills.
I've just noticed, and for relationships, because that's where we're at.
Yeah, that's where we're at.
People
with
that deal with that, like they start to, it starts to get overwhelming because now they feel like they're babysitting.
Mm-hmm.
Now I feel like I got a child, you know what I'm saying? Or like, nigga, I'm taking care of my kids. So what happens? The kids get left at home and mama get to go out and play or daddy get to go out and play. It's the same type of factor even though you're in a relationship.
Right. Yeah. Well, I don't understand as a woman at your big age, why do you want a second father?
Let's sum it up for this, right? For all the people that really have problems in that department,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to say it in like a player stand for me where I came from because what it taught me. Re-knock your bitch. Re-knock your nigga. It's okay.
Every day.
People go and
choose
they
every day.
People go and renew their vows, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just to refreshen up the situation. Do something that y'all ain't probably always used to doing. You know what I'm saying? Like just kind of get spontaneous. I'm giving like the square like some game. Like
you
get
have
spontaneous
to choose your partner
with
every
your
day.
Partner. You gotta choose your partner every day. Just because even you're married or you feel like you're married doesn't stick y'all together. Y'all gotta do what y'all was doing in the beginning to keep each other.
Yeah.
When that do honeymoon what you, phase
whatever
wear
whatever you did to get that person in the beginning, keep doing that. But the problem is people stop doing that after they get them.
Mm-hmm.
Man when and the honeymoon woman. Phase wear off. That's what they call
man
it.
Man and woman. People stop doing what it took to get the person to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem, and I've noticed that it happens on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
So no one's just all the way at fault here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's both parties.
I would agree.
Well, fellas, that's the Monday show. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. You can follow me at Gina Views.
The sharp one. Y'all know
Almighty
where to find
suspect.
Me.
Make sure you guys subscribe and, you know, share this episode and tell a friend and tell a friend and tell a friend to keep the Monday show going, even though I said fuck Mondays. But.
Hey,
we back.
We're going to get ready to chime
we ain't going
this
nowhere.
Out. We're going to chime this one out. It's the real Monday show. We'll see you next Monday. Peace and love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My mama texted me, nigga.